Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to today talk about the Feast of Pentecost, which we celebrated yesterday, that culmination of this season of the church year when they celebrated the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord's ascension into heaven to the right hand of God the Father, establishing fully the kingdom of God. He's given all power and authority, and we know on the day of Pentecost, Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit and the church was born. So today we will have with us Dr. Phil Gigliotti. Now, Dr. Phil, over the years, has been a guest on our program and sharing his amazing personal journey, his story, but he's also a fantastic Bible teacher. And he's taught a lot on the Feast of Pentecost and what it means and its background. So I thought it'd be really interesting and inspiring for us to lay hold of, and not just like, you know, forget what happened yesterday. Sunday was the Feast of Pentecost, but to now just chew on it and to allow the reality of what's been communicated there, the reality of Pentecost and why that day, why that event. Thinking now and remembering Pope Benedict XVI's words that the whole culmination of Jesus' life and ministry, it all culminates in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost. So it's very significant. It defines us as who we are. You could literally say we're a Pentecostal people and what that means. So I just want to welcome you back, Dr. Phil.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here,
Peter. Yeah, so glad you have it. Just for our friends, Dr. Phil is a medical doctor, but he's also a man.
Retired.
Retired, yeah. Just was passionate pursuer of the Lord and passionate pursuer of God's word all these years, and has a wonderful testimony, which maybe we can get to even at the end of the week. But welcome back. So good to have you here.
Well, thank you. Always great to be here.
Yeah, and what a wonderful feast we get to talk about.
It's so exciting. And for us charismatic Pentecostal types, this is an exciting time.
Yeah. So anyway, go ahead. Let's just share whatever you'd like about the feast. Tell us about the background, its meaning.
Well, this audience probably doesn't know me as well as my audience back in Cleveland, because back home, everybody will know that I'm going to start with an Old Testament passage or two. Because after all, well, all the feast days that are summarized in Leviticus 23, but they're stated, you know, through four of the five books of the Torah, not in Genesis, but in the others, God gives the people seven feast days to observe. The New Testament doesn't give us any feast days to observe. All the ones God tells us to observe are in the Old Testament, and actually in the Torah, and there's seven of them, and three of them are pilgrimage feasts where you have to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. All the men have to go. The women aren't obliged to go, but probably the wives and kids went with them for probably a long journey walking to Jerusalem if you lived in Nazareth. 2 hours by car, but by foot, it's a long journey. And the Feast of Pentecost, we use the Greek word Pentecost, which comes from the Greek Septuagint, which was the Greek Old Testament that Alexander the Great had commissioned. In Hebrew, the Feast is Shavuot, which means the Feast of Weeks. And the reason it's called that is that God tells the people to start with the Sabbath after Passover and count 7 weeks, which makes 49 days, and then the following day is Shavuot, Pentecost. So in the time between that Sabbath and Pentecost, you have to count the days. It's called counting the Omer. And when you get to 49, you know that the next day is Pentecost. And originally it was an agricultural feast. It was about the wheat harvest. And we know there's another agricultural feast called the Feast of First Fruits, which was about the barley harvest. And when the first barley grains ripened, you took them and offered them to the Lord, and then the rest of your crop was blessed. Jesus rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. So this is why Paul says he was the first fruit of the resurrection. And because his sacrifice was acceptable to God, the rest of the crop, which is us, are blessed. Now, Pentecost got to be for the wheat harvest, which was a much bigger harvest. And so, as we know, Jesus many times in the Gospels talks about how the harvest is so great and there's so few workers. The wheat harvest was a big harvest. So the church was born on Pentecost because now there was this big harvest in the world that had to be brought in. It also commemorated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, because if you count the days from the time they left Egypt at day 50, Moses was on the mountain. And I don't want to go into all that because, of course, we don't have all the information saying it was exactly then, but it's believed to be 50. And so, of course, in Jeremiah 31:31, God says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and I'm going to write the law in your hearts. So it's not a coincidence that on looking over the feast of the giving of the law, of the harvest of the wheat, the big harvest, the Holy Spirit falls on this group of people in the upper room, 120 of them, who now, he writes the law on their heart and sends them out to begin bringing in the harvest. So it's a very exciting day, very exciting time. Yeah. And we see the transition of those guys, you know, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but Peter and not you, the other one, Peter and some of those guys, you know, they didn't exactly have a stellar record when it came to really getting what was going on. But boy, from 9 a.m. that morning, he was a different Peter, and all those guys were different.
Yeah. And so in your mind, or really the teaching of the church, in the scripture, the gospels, Jesus understood the timing of all this.
Yes.
And that he was preparing that unfolding of the timing of the, it's like the feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament was a feast for that moment, but it was also an anticipation, a foreshadowing, a type of its fulfillment, which was coming in the actual Pentecost of the harvest of souls in the new law.
And most of the ministry I do has to do with showing the types in the Torah and how they prefigure Jesus and how they prefigure salvation. You know, the blood atonement, of course, is an obvious one, but there's a lot of them, especially with Joseph and with
crossing
Moses.
Of the Red Sea, baptism, I mean, and all that. Yeah,
we could do like a month of radio shows on that.
Yeah,
at least. But so that's basically what I do. But the stage for the Pentecost that we observed yesterday was also set in the fact that Shavuot, Pentecost, was one of the pilgrimage feasts, so everyone had to go to Jerusalem. So that's why it says everybody in the city heard the mighty rushing wind and they went to see what was going on. And when Peter goes out, and we'll do that at some point, when Peter goes out and does this amazing teaching, this amazing sermon, I hate to call it a sermon because it was just such a complete teaching, there's 3,000 people come to the Lord that day in the first, you know, 15, 20 minutes of church history, which is a pretty good record. And it goes back to, you know, when the people made the golden calf, 3,000 people were killed. Pentecost morning, 3,000 people were saved and brought into the kingdom. It's kind of a mirror of that. But it's all set there to occur on this day. And Jesus, of course, knows about this and knows what's going to happen, which is why, you know, if we're going to talk about the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1 or however you want to do it, we don't have a script or anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, Phil, I think just to kind of, we'll have time over the next few days to kind of really dive into, actually just read the text, and we'll take it apart kind of step by step. But it's important for us to also understand that Pentecost, when the church celebrates the Pentecost feast, she's renewing and living a reality.
Yes.
It's not just simply, hey, there was this really wonderful spiritual thing that happened 2,000 years ago, and it's just good to remember it. Oh, and it's so cool that it's connected to the Old Testament or whatever it is. No, this is a reality, a perennial reality. The church lives by the life and presence and outpouring. As the Catechism calls it, Jesus now is at the right hand of the Father interceding in a permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going on. And the church lives by that Spirit. People are born again by that Spirit. Yes. The kingdom goes forth by that Spirit in the gifts and the anointing. And so it's like Pope Paul VI called it a perennial Pentecost is what the church needs to live by.
Yeah, and many of us have had that personal experience of a personal Pentecost, which actually connects you to that day because it is ongoing. You know, many of the I don't speak Greek, but of course, when you do Bible study, you learn a lot of Greek. And a lot of the Greek verbs that are used there are in a continuing present tense. I forget what it's called. Yeah. It's an ongoing process. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't stop working you know, after the book of Acts is done, or doesn't stop working after the last apostle dies, or doesn't stop working when the canon's closed. He's working right now, this very minute.
Yeah. And the Christian life is fundamentally one that's, you're brought into new life,
yes,
by being plunged in baptism, yes, into the baptism, yes, in the Holy Spirit, into, yes, the place where you, yes, receive the grace, and you're, yes, born again, and then that you become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you get the new heart. Like,
yes,
it's the Spirit, yes, of God. God's, yeah, love is poured into your heart,
right,
through the Holy Spirit,
right,
you know, that is allowing you to become a new creation, enter the family of God, and be harvested. It's the, that's, yeah, the harvested reality.
Yeah.
It's,
yes,
the blood of Jesus. It's the cross of Jesus,
yeah,
that removed every obstacle that was standing in the way for us to become part,
amen,
of that harvest.
Amen. The cross is the center, and this is, you know, this is just what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell people, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there. There isn't,
yeah,
anything more important than that. I used to witness to people all day long at the office, and people would say, gee, you take this Jesus thing pretty seriously. And I said, well, what else should I take seriously?
Yeah.
My car, my house, my cholesterol, my gym membership, which I don't have. What is more important than this?
Yeah.
Because the cross is the center of everything. And the Spirit could not come in full outpouring until Jesus had been sacrificed and then glorified. And we could go through teachings about the rock in the Old Testament and how Paul says the rock was the Christ and Moses had to strike the rock. But then after that, it didn't strike the rock. You could speak to it. And if the rock is the Christ, Jesus had to suffer first, then the Spirit is poured out. But after the suffering, he doesn't suffer again. Now we can speak to him. We can speak to the rock, and the water comes. And so the cross is, in fact, the center of all of this. And you talk about leading your Christian life. I always think, and you know, in the Torah, when the people are in the wilderness, they move according to what the glory cloud is doing, the Shekinah.
Yeah.
When the cloud lifts and moves, they move. When the cloud stops, they stop. Sometimes they're there for a few days. Sometimes they're there for a year and a half. But they're moving. And it's the same with our life. You know, we're moving through a wilderness. And the Holy Spirit, if you're attentive to what he's saying, tells you, move over here. Okay, stop here for a while. Okay, now move over there and stop there for a while. And he's guiding us through this life in the same way that the cloud guided the people through their life.
Yes, you could see Jesus, even at Jesus' baptism. So Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan with John,
yeah,
by John. And then there's the theophany, Father,
yes,
and Son, Holy,
yes,
Spirit are all present. Then it says, then the Holy Spirit led him into the desert.
Yes.
Then the Holy Spirit leads him to Galilee.
Yeah,
then the Holy Spirit,
yes,
you know, so he's showing us and living a reality,
yes,
that we're meant to live. Just like him, we're living a life led by the Spirit. And the apostles did the same thing.
Yes.
You know, so there's so much to say here. I can't wait till tomorrow so we can take this all up, friends. But I think we want to dedicate, friends, this whole week to the discussion, prayerful discussion, engagement around God's word, revelation, what the Lord has done for us so that we can be awakened ourselves to the right mindset, the right heart, the right faith, receptivity, and anticipation of what the Lord wants to do in and through us. It's critical in a difficult time like this for the church to rediscover and to live fully in the grace of this perennial Pentecost, as St. Paul called it. So, Dr. Phil, so glad to have you here. Can't wait till tomorrow we can discuss this.
Yes.
Friends, have a blessed day. Hope you can join us tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.